This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Remember to thank the cook this upcoming Thanksgiving. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and welcome to Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. This is the November 19th, 2011 broadcast of Free Thought Radio, which we like to call Radio for the Rest of Us.
Free Thought Radio is broadcasting here from Madison, Wisconsin, and broadcasting also in Atlanta, Grand Rapids, Monterey, New York City, and podcasting everywhere.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Of course, we believe in freedom of religion, but we are people who are free from religion and who think our government, as government, should also be free from religion.
We know our government should be free from religion because it's in the Constitution.
Yeah, the religious freedom, the freedom. Well, as
establishment clause.
As your mom always used to say and still says, there can be no religious freedom without the freedom to dissent. So our members are atheists and agnostics, dissenters from the status quo.
And we have a lively show for you today. In a bit, we'll talk about why In God We Trust is an unconstitutional and not even an accurate motto. But now we want to take a minute to talk about our new Out of the Closet billboard campaign that's going on in Phoenix and Tucson. We have a total of 11 billboards with faces and views of FFRF members. They're very appealing, colorful, thought-provoking.
What other cities have we been in with this campaign?
Tulsa, Raleigh, Columbus, Madison, Wisconsin. So this is the fifth and sixth cities we've taken this to. And this new campaign's in conjunction with our new chapter, the Phoenix area chapter, that's called FFRF Valley of the Sun. And we have the Friendly Neighborhood Atheist Agnostic Freethinker Faces of Phoenix and Tucson members with their free thought testimonials. And participants are very interesting. They include an atheist airline pilot whose co-pilot is not a god, a blind student who asserts faith without reason is true blindness.
Oh, that's cute.
And a humanist business owner whose billboard says, how do you say that, Dan?
The billboard says, creo en la razón, no en la religión. And you know what that means, don't you?
Why don't you translate that?
If you took Spanish class, it means, I believe in reason, not religion. Other FFRF billboards in the Tucson and Phoenix area picture a smiling young Tempe family of six and a young married couple who quip, we are too old for imaginary friends. A physician has a billboard, and the physician calls himself a childhood Christian indoctrination survivor and atheism convert. Another billboard has a young man who identifies himself as a former Mormon, and I guess Mormonism is really big in Arizona. He advises, serve humanity, not a fictional god. Jim McLeod, who is a bus driver and atheist, his slogan on his billboard says, morality does not require religion. Nine billboards are up in Phoenix, Glendale, Mesa, and Chandler, and then two of them are up in Tucson.
And we are going to talk with one of the two Tucson participants in that Out of the Closet campaign. His name is Dr. Stephen Ewell. On the second half of our show, but as a teaser, I'll tell you, he formerly was a Roman Catholic priest, and now he's an atheist author. He was instrumental in supporting the billboard campaign, and I will tell you what it says because it's very memorable. Atheists work to make this life heavenly, and I think that's my very favorite slogan in this
campaign. Especially coming from a priest.
Yeah, coming from a priest, and his wife, Diane, is also participating, so we'll be talking with him and learning more about his story in a few minutes.
Now for some news. The Freedom From Religion Foundation has spent a lot of time to stop a violation in Clay County, Florida. As we previously reported, a minister has been praying weekly on school property as children at the elementary school arrive with the blessings of the local principal. The principal had approvingly written a newsletter agreeing with a pastor that the First Amendment applies only to Christians.
So reason has prevailed. Fortunately, the school attorney has agreed with the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and the minister officially has been booted off school property, and the principal is being reprimanded. And we have a TV report out of WXJT-TV on the resolution of our complaint.
New developments in a school prayer controversy in Clay County. Today, a pastor moved his weekly prayer meeting from the flagpole at Clay Hill Elementary off school grounds to a nearby location.
Pastor Ron Baker, the pastor of Russell Baptist Church, has been leading weekly prayer gatherings for over 10 years by the flagpole at Clay Hill Elementary School. This never was a problem up until about a month ago, when the Clay Hill principal sent out a memo to his staff commending the prayer gatherings. He also said that the First Amendment only applies to Christians, which got many people fired up and led people to point fingers at Pastor Baker and his prayer group.
And our desire, the motivation is still the same. Pray for God's blessing on the school, the students, the faculty, bus drivers, everybody involved in school life.
After a month of back and forth talks, Pastor Baker came to an agreement with the school district after their attorney threatened legal action if Baker didn't take his gatherings off of school property. This morning marked the first weekly prayer gathering that has ever been held off Clay Hill Elementary's property. There were about 70 people in attendance, and Pastor Baker, students, and parents carried on their weekly prayer session as if nothing was different.
I appreciate the blessing, the benefit it is in our community.
In Clay County, Elizabeth Campbell, Channel 4, the local station.
So we can say hallelujah
to the
that.
End of the violation anyway, now, even though I still think it's predatory conduct that he's right there by the
school. That wasn't quite
accurate.
The attorney wasn't threatening to sue the pastor.
Well, yeah, they were going to take legal action if he came back on the property.
Oh, if he came back on. But
which is what they should have done. You can't have adults trespassing on school property when there's children around.
But the original complaint was that we might have sued the school if they hadn't corrected this violation. So as promised last week, we're going to play the clip of Annie Laurie on National Fox News. It ran about 2 weeks ago where she was debating Congressman Dan Lundgren on the constitutionality of the motto, In God We Trust.
So, was it a waste of time, or as some critics say, even unconstitutional? Here now for a fair and balanced debate, Congressman Dan Lundgren, a Republican from California who voted in favor of the resolution, and Annie Laurie Gaylor of the Freedom From Religion Foundation joins us by phone. We welcome you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congressman, why did you think it was important to vote on this when there are so many other things that people would like to see Congress doing?
Well, first of all, we've got 16 bills on jobs that we've sent to the Senate they haven't acted on, so the suggestion by the president we're not acting on jobs is nonsense. Secondly, at all times in the history of this nation, when we have dealt with difficult circumstances, and this economy is in difficult circumstances, we have acknowledged our reliance on God, and we have, as a country, recognized the origins of a dependence on a religious belief in this country. And frankly, it's under attack by a number of different groups in this country who believe that somehow it is inconsistent with the Constitution when we believe it's entirely consistent with the Constitution and ought to be a strength of our country, not something viewed as a weakness.
Well, Ms. Gaylor, you're with the Freedom From Religion Foundation, one of the groups who does have a problem with this motto. In fact, you sued to stop it from being engraved into the new Capitol Visitor Center, a lawsuit that was later thrown out. What are your objections to this motto and making it official?
Well, I object, first of all, that the House Majority Leader, Eric Cantor, was on record saying that he would actively prevent any votes on new legislation that is not substantive and meaningful. And you cannot make a case that this vote was substantive or meaningful. It was political grandstanding. It was a religious test for public office. It's a gotcha issue. And I think it's important for the nation to know that the original motto is E Pluribus Unum, chosen by a distinguished committee of Jefferson, Franklin, and Adams. And In God We Trust was adopted at the height of the McCarthy era in 1956 as a second motto. And in order for it to be accurate, it would have to say, In God Some of Us Trust, because many good Americans do not believe in a God. And that would be a very silly motto, wouldn't it? In God We Trust is meaningless to those of us who are God-free. We are fastest growing segment of the adult population, 16%, and even faster among young people. A quarter of the population now questions the belief in God among 15 and 25 year olds. So this is a very exclusionary act. And what I objected to the most was that Congress, the House, went on record saying that In God We Trust should be displayed in all public buildings, including public schools. And I think this is a very wrong. This is wrong for children to have to go to school and be faced with a God litmus test.
Congressman, what do you make of those objections?
Well, they're historically inaccurate. William O. Douglas, about as liberal a member of the U.S. Supreme Court as you could ever find, once said in an official comment that the United States is a religious people whose institutions presuppose a supreme being. I mean, you talk about George Washington, his farewell address. You talk about the words of our Declaration of Independence. You talk about John Adams, who told us our Constitution would be insufficient for a people that were not moral and religious. Those are his words. You talk about Abraham Lincoln. You talk about Franklin Delano Roosevelt in the depths of the difficulty of World War II. You talk about Martin Luther King, who made specific appeals to our religious heritage in order for us to recover from the terrible discrimination that was visited upon minorities in this country. Historically, this is a country that has acknowledged its religious foundations. Now, that doesn't mean everyone has to be religious, but the freedoms that are granted in this country or recognized in this country, frankly, come from our founding fathers believing that we had an intimate relationship with a God who gave us these rights, and therefore these rights cannot be taken from us by other people, other men or women or government. That is a revolutionary idea that forms the basis of our government, and to deny that denies history.
Well, I'm afraid that the Representative Lundgren appears to have never read the Constitution, which is in fact a godless document. It's entirely secular, and its only references to religion are exclusionary, such as that there should be no religious test for public office. Our founders were very radical. They deliberately formed a country that did not have its basis on a God. We have no God in our government, no God in our Constitution. The sovereignty is invested, the power is invested in we the people, not some divinity. And if you go and compare our Constitution to theocracy constitutions, you see the difference. So
what he's saying is historically inaccurate.
If you've
just taken the position of Stephen Douglas in the Lincoln-Douglas debates, and the response by Abraham Lincoln was, if that's true, we ought to tear up the statutes of the United States that make reference to the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
Abraham Lincoln strongly argued
that
you cannot understand our Constitution unless you have an informed view that it is informed by the Declaration of Independence.
All right, we've got to leave it there. We are out of time. I hate to break this off, but fair and balanced debate, Congressman Lundgren, Annie Laurie Gaylor, we'd love to have you back to discuss it more. We're out of time for now. Thank you both.
By the way, Douglas went on to clarify in a later decision that he still thought state and church should be completely separate.
He felt that his phrase,
our institutions presuppose,
had been misused, and he regretted it. And of course, you can't say everything. You can't correct the record completely. Trying to get a word in edgewise there, but
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Coming up, a little comic relief over seasonal state church violations. And then we'll learn why Stephen Yule went from Roman Catholic priest to atheist. And he's so committed to the freethought cause, he's even up on a billboard right now in Tucson proclaiming his non-belief. Stay tuned.
Hi, my name is Charlie Williams from Chicago, Illinois, and I'm on Freethought Radio.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker, and like our guest who's coming up later in the show, I am not a transubstantiationalist.
You are a former member of the clergy, in fact, just like our guest coming up. Well, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. I've always been a free thinker, third generation free thinker. And now it's that season already. It seems awfully early, but we have seasonal controversies brewing. And we have some commentary on that via Madison songwriter Ken Longquist on the holiday versus Christmas tree controversy at the Wisconsin State Capitol. Governor Scott Walker said it's not a holiday tree, it's a Christmas tree, so he was going to rename it. We said it's not a Christmas tree, it's a winter solstice tree. And Ken Longquist says it's none of those, it's an Isthmus tree.
So why is it an Isthmus tree? Because if you don't live in Madison, you won't get the joke, so we have to explain. The state capitol in Madison, Wisconsin, in downtown Madison, sits on an isthmus between two quite large lakes.
Isthmus tree, oh Isthmus tree, the Capitol Rotunda. Find some perplexed and others vexed, they scratch their heads in wonder. While Christians claim you as their own, historically it's widely known your origin was pagan when the Yule tree was plundered. Isthmus tree, oh Isthmus tree, the Yule light that glistens from every bough upon you now, shone long before the Christians. Your candle fire the ancients burned to bid the wayward sun return. Songs of light on solstice night still kindle hearts that listen. Isthmus tree, oh Isthmus tree, your warm illumination against the cold dark hues of old inspired imitation. But this sincerest flattery of circuit box and battery should stake no claim or rename the Yule tree celebration.
And that's the very clever Isthmus tree, written and performed by Madison songwriter Ken Longquist, and about the controversy right at the state capitol about what to call the tree they stick up every December. And it's already a controversy here. And we have more brewing, don't we? Because
'tis the season,
yes,
isn't it?
Our office has already received, it's a first two or three official nativity scene violation complaints about nativity scenes on public property. So we're gearing up for another heavy season there on state church violations, which kind of take over the office.
And are we going to put up some more of our own protest signs this year?
Yes, we will be putting up our winter solstice display in the Wisconsin State Capitol and the Mississippi Capitol, where they have a really bad violation in the Capitol. Ours is more a response to years of various violations, including starting with the nativity pageant that takes over the Capitol for a weekend every year, where they actually have live angels, etc. And it used to be funded by the city and the public schools here in Madison. And it was one of my mother's first legal victories without going to court, stopping that public funding of a nativity pageant.
And we're going back to Olympia, Washington. We're going to have a sign up there. Remember we had that victory where
we were watching that.
They booted the nativity scene out of the rotunda, but now they're allowing outside in a public forum signs, things to go up.
And but of course, what Ken Longquist's song harkens back to, and I guess you can't say it often enough, is that the origins of Christmas are pagan.
Did you say Texas has one too? Texas also has a nativity scene up in their state capitol.
Oh.
Well, that's what Dave just wrote a note to us. So we'll have to look at Texas. Thanks, Dave. It'll be all your fault on that.
But the origins of the winter solstice, of course, is that it's the shortest and darkest day of the year. I think it's the 22nd this year. It's either December 21st or 22nd. And
that's the reason for the season.
The reason for the season. So this is all pagan. And the Puritans banned all these pagan customs. So it's very interesting how they've now been adopted to symbolize Christianity.
Stay tuned. We're going to talk to a former Roman Catholic priest named Stephen Yule about why he has come out of God's closet.
Beware of dogma.
This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We're delighted to have as our guest today Stephen Yule. He's from Tucson, Arizona. He is a lifetime member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and you might be surprised to know that he used to be a Roman Catholic priest. He's the author of the book Out of God's Closet. This Priest Psychologist Chooses Friendly Atheism is the subtitle. He is married to Diane Yule. They wed on the winter solstice in 1968, and both Steve and Diane are featured by photograph, name, and statement on FFRF billboards up in Tucson right now. And Steve's billboard says, "Atheists work to make this life heavenly," which I think is a wonderful slogan. And Diane's is also great. She says, "I respect people for their deeds, not their creeds."
And you can read Steve's very fascinating story. It's a Meet a Member interview in Free Thought Today, and we now have it up at the Freedom From Religion Foundation website. His interview was featured in the March 2011 issue of Free Thought Today, and go to ffrf.org and look under the publication link for that.
So, Steve, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Now, I think even before we talk about the billboard, everybody, what's going to be on everybody's mind is, why did you become a Roman Catholic priest and then go from that to atheist?
Oh, wow. How long is this program?
My
mother was a very fervent Roman Catholic, and she had given birth to first four girls and then a boy, my oldest brother, Carl. He was destined to run the farm, and she had a vocation for me to be the family priest.
That used to be the way, wasn't it? There always has to be one member of the family who went into the ministry.
Well, it was a source of a great deal of pride and therefore planning on her part. But I believed what Mother said I should do. So, and I believed what the church and my parents taught me in those innocent years. So I went to a boarding seminary at the ripe old age of 14, was ordained after 12 years of fairly rigorous study, actually, academically and theologically, and well, ordained then in 1950, at the age of 25 in 1956. And well, things went swimmingly as I helped with the counseling program and taught mathematics in our high school. And after about 9 years, though, a doubt began to develop based on a meditation I had when I was doing one morning in our monastery chapel, trying to use St. Thomas's proofs for God's existence, and especially the proof of causality. And I had always accepted that, as the Roman Catholic Church had accepted it, as an adequate proof, rational proof, for God's existence. Well, St. Thomas, of course, as essential to that proof, was the infinite regress of secondary causes, which I assume your listeners are fairly familiar with, that he simply said, our minds rebel at the concept of an infinite regression of secondary causes, and therefore there must be a first cause, an uncaused first cause, like holding that link in the chain of causality. And, of course, as I saw that at the ripe old age of, I was getting into my 30s now, and I saw that as really not a proof at all, even though the Catholic Church had put almost dogmatic weight on it. So that's when I started to become an agnostic.
Wow, that was about the same age for me after 19 years of preaching, and for you it was about the same. It was in my early 30s. Something in the brain and something about growing up and thinking for yourself.
Well, I think the growing up, that's the big concept, I think. Yes. Dan, becoming, self-responsible.
Okay, but I know some listeners are going to ask this question. Your wife is Diane. Was Diane the reason why a Catholic priest left the ministry?
No. She was a teacher in the district. After I left the priesthood, she was a teacher in the same suburban school district that I was teaching in. Before I left the monastery, prudently, I had already set up a contract with the school district, which was a good, well-paying suburban school district outside Chicago, to teach mathematics in their public schools. And it was and Diane ended up teaching in that same school district, and that's when we really got together.
Now, Steve, what was that like for you to leave the priesthood in the mid-60s? Your mother still alive? How did you get treated by friends and family?
Well, mother was still alive, and it was kind of interesting the way I was going to tell the way I told the family that I was leaving the monastery and the priesthood and the church. We were all together, all of us, the in-laws, together at mom's for a Mother's Day dinner. And I was going to announce it as a public announcement to all of them, and I just did not have the courage to do so. It was such a joyful occasion. First of all, they had asked me to pray, you know, bless the food and that before we, as we sat down to this Mother's Day banquet. And I just did not have the courage, I admit it, to announce it publicly to all these joyful people in that circumstance. But what I did then was the following week, I went around to all of my siblings, my oldest brother had died, so seven siblings, and that discussed it with them then in detail the following week on an individual basis. And the range of acceptance, well, first of all, the love never died. You know, the love conquered all. They loved me and still do. But the acceptance of the philosophical, theological posture ranged all the way from, you know, hey, that's great. You know, I've been an atheist for a while. One of my brothers said is that, and, you know, there was a wide range, as you find in the public today. And among my 31 nieces and nephews, likewise,
wow.
A tremendous range of acceptance and rejection. You know, representing from one extreme of acceptance to the other extreme of rejection.
The same thing happened to me. Yeah,
it's kind of sad, isn't it, Dan, to see how rational, loving people can reject for the least rational reasons. You know, religion undermines. There's no question about it.
Because you threaten who they really are, their meaning, their hope for eternal life, all of this investment they put into their religion. Your story is very much like mine and like many other active and former clergy. And by the way, Steve, you are part of this brand new clergy project, which has just been started up as well. And your participation has been very helpful. There are ministers in the clergy right now, men and women, who want to get out. And hearing your story, you tell your story in great depth in the book Out of God's Closet. So any listeners who want to go into greater depth about the intellectual reasons can go to your book. And by the way, I should point out, Stephen Yule's last name is spelled U-H-L, Stephen Yule.
So... Are there any priests that are still in the closet that you're working with in the clergy project?
We have former Roman Catholic priests. There's no active priest right now. I debated a priest this week who's, I hope, a candidate someday, a guy from Argentina. I thought about you, Steve, as I was debating this priest Monday night in Oregon, who was using those very same arguments that you were bringing up. And intellectually, I don't think he was quite there like that you got to.
Well, I think, though, that there are a lot of them out there that are in the position I was in my mid-late 30s, that they may be in their mid-50s and later when they have these insights and self-convictions. And yet, I I'm really sympathetic with these people who almost feel forced to live a hypocritical life. How are they going to make a living if they haven't saved along the way? How are they going to make a living in this world out there in the competitive world at the age of 55, 60 years of age.
Yeah, exactly. Some of them are struggling right now. They know they're hypocrites. They know they have to stop, but they don't have health care. They have children to raise. They have an income. One guy just left the ministry, and his income has cut in half. He left this last summer, but he's happy. He said, what is the price of integrity? That's, you know, Jerry, you know. So, but in your case, you did find another career as a psychologist then.
And do you mind revealing your age, Steve?
Well, I'm 81.
Wow. Oh, you've had a birthday.
Yeah. And so, good health and functioning fairly well. Sometimes short-term memory is not so great.
Well, it seems fine. So, I mean, so let's now talk about this very public gesture that you've made and that you've also helped make possible in the Phoenix and Tucson area with your generous support. And this is your Out of the Closet billboard. You and Diane each have your own billboard. And why did you want to come public like that?
Why did I want to become public with the billboard mm-hmm. project?
I mean, you know, a lot of people are afraid to come out of the closet as atheists or agnostics. They're afraid of the community reaction. What's it like to be up on that billboard in Tucson?
Well, the billboard just went up a couple of days ago, so it's a little bit early to say, but we did have a very pleasant interview with Fox 11 News, Wednesday it was, and that was aired, that was aired last night.
Well, we'll be sure to play that next week on the show.
When I said Wednesday, I misspoke. It was earlier in the week, and it was aired quite in a balanced fashion, not to a great extent. You know, it would have been nice if it had more time for it.
Well, they want sound bites, don't they?
I'm sorry.
They always are after their sound bites.
Right.
But we'll be sure to put links to that at our FFRF in the news site, and we'll play that on the radio next week. But
repeat what it says. What is his billboard?
Yeah, what does your billboard say again, Steve?
The billboard, mine is says, atheists work to make this life heavenly.
Wow. From a former priest to say to make this life heavenly.
Right.
And Diane's?
And Diane's says, I respect people for their deeds, not their creeds.
Wow.
And I know that you just offered that. We might just use that as a slogan all by itself, but you originally had said, how about a billboard that says, atheists want to make this life heavenly? And then you thought about it and said, well, wait, we're doing stuff. Atheists
right.
work to make this life heavenly.
Now I think you've answered Diane's and my motivation for sponsoring the sign project. Wow. We want people to realize that we don't have horns, that we want this life to be great, and we want to help make it that way.
Well, after the break, let's keep talking about that. We're talking with Stephen Yule, a former priest who is now an atheist, whose billboard has just gone up this last week in Tucson, advertising and promoting his lack of belief. So stay tuned. I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Hi, my name is Dan Hamilton from Westmont, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and our guest is a former Roman Catholic priest who is now a lifetime member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation's Dr. Steve Yule, who's from Tucson, author of Out of God's Closet, and featured on an FFRF billboard campaign in the Tucson Phoenix area. And his billboard says, atheists work to make this life heavenly. His wife Diane's billboard says, I respect people for their deeds, not their creeds. And we're talking with Steve about why he left the Roman Catholic Church and became an atheist, why he's an out-of-the-closet atheist, and in fact his book is called
Out of God's Closet. This priest psychologist chooses friendly atheism. And Steve, I notice on the book you also have this subtitle, The Power to Enjoy Life with No Guilt, No Shame, No blame. And don't you agree with me that a lot of religion, especially the Roman Catholic Church, instills a lot of negative feelings of guilt and shame and blame, and you're going to hell and you're no good and you need to submit. Yeah. So in your article that you wrote for us, you said, "I'm a free thinker because life for me and for fellow human neighbors is richer when based on reason than when guided by thoughtless superstition." So that's basically your message now, from one preacher to another, right?
It's certainly central to it, yes. I love people. I like to see them enjoy life. As they enjoy life more, I enjoy life more, and vice versa. But it's kind of hard to be totally free and natural if you're looking over your shoulder and worried that you might make a mistake and offend Big Daddy or something of that nature. It's just too narrowing. People that believe in that accept the old outdated science and outworn traditions are not free to grow and contribute to society and to each other nearly as productively as they could.
When you were a kid, did you used to believe in hell? Were you scared of hell as a child?
Oh, sure.
Like if you...
I can still remember. I'm not going to go into details here, but I can still remember one of the greatest, just absolute experience of fear was based on an adolescent masturbating in the shower.
Oh
one
yeah.
Time.
Oh, that'll
and,
get.
Oh boy, did I have trouble confessing that. And that was a shame.
Well, the priest probably enjoyed hearing that story, the way
well,
some of these
maybe.
Priests are. But, this whole idea that we are corrupt and degraded and that we are deserving of eternal punishment, what a horrible thing to teach children. And children go to bed at night scared that they might have said or done something wrong. And, how is that conducive to happiness?
Well, it can't be very conducive to happiness. We were taught in moral theology, and this really gets you, that you must not have any experience that's purely because of its pleasure. Now, that's sick.
Yeah.
But that's official. That's the official moral teaching. Used to be. I don't know if it's changed now or not.
In your article for us, you said one of your favorite quotes was Robert G. Ingersoll saying, "The time to be happy is now the place to be happy, is here. The way to be happy is to make others happy." So that's totally contradictory to the Catholic teaching that you're referring to.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Catholic teaching, of course, is you're supposed to be eternally and totally, absolutely happy in the next life.
Yeah.
So you sacrifice this life as Christ sacrificed on the cross, blah, 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 blah.
You should have seen at this debate I was at last week in Oregon, I debated a Catholic priest, and there was a whole bunch of Catholic priests and nuns out in the audience, and this one nun in particular was wearing this blue. She had this stern look. She was glaring at me, and she kept shaking her head sideways, like almost everything I said, she kept shaking her head, no, 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 and it was just like this anti-pleasure. I mean, Central Casting would have loved that woman for a movie about, did you meet people like that?
You mean who are afraid to be happy?
Well, you must have known nuns like that through your childhood.
Well, the main nuns that influenced me was after fifth grade, and I did fine with them. You know, they were Benedictines, and they they were not outrageous. I mean, they were fervent Catholic. They believed a lot of superstition and that kind of thing. But as far as I guess I have to back up a little bit. They did use fear, like the Catholic Church uses fear to keep people in line, to keep us kids in line. You show me one powerful organization that doesn't use fear, because it's very easy. It's an easy emotion to arouse in the one that's to be controlled. So fear is used, not just by the Catholic Church, but certainly predominantly, it's a great, great power in the Catholic Church.
Now, we're almost out of time. I want to tell listeners who might be in the Tucson area where they can find your billboard, or you should tell them, Steve, Speedway by Main Avenue, is that right?
It's Speedway in Maine is the one that I have my mug on, and the and Diane's is at Ajo and Alvernon.
And then you can also, at our news section, you can find the press release about all of the Phoenix area billboards. Go see them, find out more about them. And then how can people order your book? It's called Out of God's Closet.
Well, if they simply go to that website, outofgodscloset.com, they can find the details there. There are several ways they can get it.
Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you.
And I have to put in a plug quickly for Dan's clergy project.
Well, we're out of time. But
we're out of time, Steve. I'm sorry, but the clergy project is going straight ahead. We want to thank you, Steve, and our engineer, Dave McCann.
And it's the birth date of who?
Of Scott Joplin.
That's why we're listening to his music. If you want more information, go to fffrf.org, call 1-800-335-4021. Join us today and tune in more next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday